Brigade to get turned on here or something. There we go. Okay. Our Father.
Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Call the meeting to order. Approve the agenda. Mr. Baker, do you have any changes or?
Yes, I do have several, one suggested change. Under executive session, we do not need the item land acquisition or pending potential litigation.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Council, anything? Not entertain a motion to accept the agenda. Okay, we've got a motion and a second to accept the agenda as amended. Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Approval of minutes. We had in our packets the minutes of 1-4-11. Do I have any changes or questions on those? And also, the minutes were not on our posted agenda, I guess, last week that we did approve for the 12-7 and 12-14. So hearing nothing, we'll accept all those as approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, Mr. President, there's several items. First, we do have some additional thank yous on for our human service grants, and they are from the Salvation Army of Sussex County, from the Boys and Girls Club for Rehoboth, the Boys and Girls Club for Dagsboro, and the Boys and Girls Club for Oak Orchard. In addition, we have correspondence. Gentlemen, please accept our sincere thanks for your generous donation to our organization. We're able to help many of the people in our community because of your help. And that's a Good Samaritan Aid, Inc. And we have from the Community Food Pantry, thank you for your generous donation of food collected at the Caroling on the Circle in Georgetown. Our pantry has seen a 30% increase in membership over the past year and expect it may continue. Our special thanks to Mr. Chip Guy in helping us become part of this wonderful outreach program. Thank you very much. And then the last is, dear Councilman Wilson, Sussex County Council, I would like to thank you for the monetary donation you gave towards my Strides for Hope half marathon fundraising goal. The money I raised helped me honor my dad, Jeff Pettigen, as well as provide free support to people battling cancer through the Wellness Community of Delaware. The money raised helped the Wellness Community of Delaware in their efforts to help people with cancer and their loved ones, providing professionally led programs of emotional support, education, and hope as an integral part of conventional medical treatment. I completed the Strides for Hope Half Marathon in Las Vegas on December 5th, 2010. Again, thank you for your support. Signed, Karen Pettigen. And that's all the correspondence.
Anyone from council, any correspondence? Hey, Mr. Baker.
Good morning. The first item is administrative variances, discussion and possible ordinance introduction. And I have a handout for you. In your packet was an ordinance, a draft ordinance, and we have a draft ordinance with a slight revision that we can explain. But what we like to do is just go over this with the county council. As per a request of the county council, Mr. Lank and representative from Mr. Moore's firm and myself met and reviewed this draft ordinance regarding administrative variances for your consideration. And just to summarize briefly what it's about. First, the idea with this draft is that the Director of Planning and Zoning would administratively be able to grant a yard setback or building separation variance that does not exceed 1 foot of the yard setback or building separation requirements. We were suggesting the possibility of a $50 fee to cover the cost of this process, which we will explain, but the fee could be used as a credit towards the Board of Adjustment application if, for instance, the Director of Planning and Zoning turned down the administrative variance. They could still apply to the board, and then they would get a credit for the $50 fee, is the thought behind this. Director of Planning and Zoning would give written notice to adjacent property owners, accept written statements for 10 working days from the date of the mailing. The Director of Planning and Zoning would be governed by all the procedures and limitations of the chapter applicable to the Board of Adjustments. So the same, Mr. Lank would have to review the same criteria. And then within 30 days of the application, Director of Planning and Zoning may approve the variance or advise the applicant. So those were some of the thoughts that we had, and I would like to mention that it is my understanding that this does not apply to manufactured home parks at this time, and we thought that we could possibly use this as an item to discuss at that committee meeting coming up at the end of this month on the 26th.
Okay. Mr. President, part of the rationale behind this, too, as a real estate attorney, oftentimes when we get ready to do closings, we find that because of new measurement techniques over the past, that oftentimes there's discoveries of just minor variations that someone thought for, you know, that there was, in fact, they were in compliance. But when with the new measurement techniques survey, that they weren't, that they were off, and it's within 1 foot that they were off. And this would give the ability of the planning and zoning director to correct that and give approval after proper notice was given to neighbors to make sure that they were aware of it. But it was not mandatory that he approve it, because if it turned out that one person had numerous issues and he saw that that was a problem, then he could, within his discretion, not approve it, but the people would still have the right then to come to file an application. So it's a way to take care of these minor issues.
Sure. What kind of notices would go out?
There would be a written notice sent to the neighbors by the director.
The way we do it now?
Yes.
Just adjoining, or?
That it's written right now as the adjoining property owners.
Schlank.
Directly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what we felt, good morning, I'm sorry. What we felt in discussion was that this, you're talking about less than a foot,
mm-hmm.
a foot or less, and it would be the immediate neighbors,
yes.
all four sides or three sides, mm-hmm. whichever it is, and they're the ones that would be affected the most by it. And, mm-hmm. and as Everett stated, typically what we found over the years that we could, an inspector may have gone out and measured it, and the tape measure said, yeah, it's over 10 foot, and they mm-hmm. grant them a CO, and then we get a survey a year or two later when they're trying to transfer their property, and we find that it's not 10 foot. Can't hold a tape measure straight enough to be able to get a full, perfect dimension. So the surveys are, and they're more accurate, as Everett said again, they're more accurate today than they were even 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Is
we're seeing a lot of survey that come in that surveyors are different surveyor disagreeing with the dimensions of what a previous surveyor found. And it's typically just minimal. It's
yes.
not even a foot, it's less, quite a bit less sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Cole?
I was just going to say, so a foot, 12 inches, because I know most of the time contractors like to use like 16 inches, you know, everything 16 inches or something. You don't think maybe a little bit more would be better, or will the 12 inches catch?
Well, we went to the, in discussion, we went to the foot, and that's why it's before council. We looked at Newcastle County, I believe, is a foot.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Kent County is 10%.
So that can be whatever.
You're looking at 10%. We're not just looking at 10, 15, 20-foot setbacks. In some cases, we're looking at 200-foot setback, for example, from a poultry house to a neighboring house. So if you're going to give them 20-foot, then the issue would come up, and somebody else thinks it should be greater in other instances. So we tried to stick it. or maintain a foot.
So 12 inches seems to be fairly standard, is what you're saying?
It's pretty standard.
Okay, all
right. The 10% was, well, there's a lot of issues with the 10% that are a little scary. So.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to keep it at a minimum, so it's basically, it's really related to the survey.
Okay.
In most cases.
Then I also heard somebody say, if there was a reason for rejection, they'd have to make an application to the
right.
Okay.
Page 2.
What would be some of the reasons for rejection if they're within that, this foot?
So, well, the best example would be that we, say I granted a 1 foot variance for a developer in his subdivision.
Right.
And 6-8 months later, he comes back with another less than a foot.
Okay.
Personally, I would say no. It's repeated.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, then so it should go to the board. Let the board decide.
Okay, so, I mean, should we specify some reasons for a rejection so that it's not so arbitrary on as they come in? Like what
as
he said, what he says makes sense to me, these repeated offenses, is one or is two repeated or is three? Are there other reasons we could that Lawrence would have the ability to reject so we don't get a...
The intent is to use the same basic reasons that are used by the Board of Adjustment in the granting of a variance.
Mm-hmm.
So we would have to use our guidelines and show just cause as to why I could approve it. It's not just say, approve.
We need to make sure that's clear in this code. So when somebody comes up and says, I'm within a couple inches, and then all of a sudden he gets rejected, and then we call on us and say, what the heck happened? And then, so it could. I'd love to see that somehow specified somewhere at Warbury.
Do you think this item number four?
It's in number four of the ordinance.
Four, okay. All
right.
Which are the same standards that the board would have to use.
Okay, are these standards and limitations, are they part of a ordinance or are they just part of a policy?
No, they're in the ordinance.
They're in the ordinance. Okay, yes. That's good.
Then
okay.
In that reference, it would be article, the Board of Adjustment reference, section of the code, and it's 115-211, and it's there are.
I'm just getting concerned.
Five items,
we don't have any gray areas. I want to start something new with a nice big gray area.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. That personally, myself, and I don't think any other director would want the responsibility to say yes, yeah, just for without reason.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, I want to know what the reasons are, and if they're nice specified, so that I can point to something. Look, here's the reason why they rejected you.
We wanted that section in the ordinance. So we want to make sure that there is justified.
Well, can somebody come in and have
somebody could appeal it too.
Okay, what happens if somebody comes in and has a request and they actually are, I don't know, in violation or whatever, or conflict with one of those procedures and they still get it? That's okay. What if somebody, a neighbor, questions that or something?
Should be the same as the board. They should have to comply with all five. All five questions.
Even to get acceptance or rejection should comply.
Then if the answer is no, then they're as was stated earlier, they're $50 fee for doing this approval or denial process would be credited to their Board of Adjustment application.
That'd be fine. Okay. Board.
And we tried not to keep it in a longer period of time. Some people would say, well, I'm not going to wait 30 days. I'm going to go ahead and apply to the board. It'll be heard in 2 months, assuming they might get turned in.
I'm just wondering.
Then they go to board.
I'm just also just concerned that if one gets granted, but it actually didn't meet one of those.
And it could be appealed by a neighbor.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't. It should be based on those five conditions.
Whether it's approved or rejected, they should be governed by those standards. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the difficulty that would be if I were to deny it, using those five reasons for denial, and then it goes, or say it was just one reason, then it goes to the Board of Adjustment, typically the board should respond the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're using the same
criteria. Right,
right. Okay. And really puts the applicant on notice that there could be an issue with the board even.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
I was looking at this 10%. Actually, 10% is no more than the first one if it was took off 1 foot for 10 feet.
Oh, that's right.
And if you looked at 10%, you say you got 20 feet variance there, and you still take off 10%, would only be 2 feet, which would leave you a total of 18 feet. If you did the first one, we leave you only 9 feet. So you still gain the one that's getting at it. And if you say it was a 200 foot and you took off 10%, it puts them at least 180 feet away.
No, disagree.
So I'm thinking that, we think at first 10% sounds big, but in one sense, if you look at the numbers, the total numbers, what you have after you take the 10% off, really, it's no worse. It's probably not as bad as the first one, a foot on 10 feet would be closer, see?
This typically, to follow up on what Sam's saying then, with agricultural uses possibly, it could be different. This seems to me more appropriate for residential uses, you know, in subdivisions and things like that.
Primarily. That's what we were looking at
earlier. So I don't know if we could maybe make another ordinance that in the AR district when it's solely for agricultural uses, like a chicken house, a barn, or whatever the setbacks may be there, that we could use a 10%, because typically we're talking with much larger parcels. Also, is there any... But maybe we could go that direction, or is
it? I'm sure we could if the council desired, but again, oftentimes these come up as a result of a mistake in measuring, and a 20-foot mistake in measuring, that's a big mistake.
Yeah, he shouldn't be measuring.
In measuring.
You better get another job.
But and you'll find, I think, just as a matter of practice over the years, these that I've seen oftentimes in residential, oftentimes are just merely inches.
Okay, I follow that logic, and that makes sense. You're right. So if they're making a mistake, we don't want to encourage 20-foot mistakes. Mm-hmm. We could hire that guy, though.
We're supposed to.
The county job.
I agree that, you know, trying to correct the code based on the mistakes of surveyors or what have you is good. But at the same time, it does seem like maybe we should be a little more flexible in those AR1 districts in the sense that, you know, maybe there is a chicken house that's too close to the line, and we could afford to give them the 20.
Well, the board could, though. No. What are you saying? We're saying just administratively over the thing, what I think following up on what Everett says, a guy landing out originally shouldn't be making a 20-foot mistake.
No, I understand. I guess I'm just looking at ways to save the public money. Going through the board is what, $400?
$400.
Probably are going to require, would they require more detailed information that the applicant would have to?
If it variance, it should require a survey.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way you can deal with it is to know exactly what's being applied for.
If none of the neighbors object, why maybe we should look at an opportunity to relieve the public of some of these fees and costs.
Well, we could maybe make another ordinance. Is it possible to do another ordinance just addressing agricultural uses, or
sure,
or somehow include it and look at the code and see if there's a way we can factor that one in and not maybe move this one along? But I at first my thoughts agree with you, but I'm afraid that somebody says, hey, if I make a mistake, I can get 20 feet, you know, and might make the mistake intentionally, but for $50 they get 20 feet if it's a 200-foot setback.
There's no objection, I mean, I'd just as soon see this introduced and we can run this through. We might find the other
problems right. Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
But this one I think is worth doing because this will save a lot of people, the majority of people with a lot of issues.
Mm-hmm.
I'll introduce it.
Okay. Well, good. Thank you, Mr. Lang. And Mr. Baker, Mr. Moore.
Yes.
Mr. Baker's report.
Yes. I'll pass out a copy. Emergency operations dispatcher call statistics attached or schedules for 4 years of call statistics for the Sussex County Fire and Ambulance Call Board. As noted, 108,436 911 calls were received during 2010. The percentage of wireless 911 calls has increased from 54% in 2007 to 71% today. Mm-hmm. The volume of calls is up by 10% in 2010. Incidents dispatched increased from about 5% during 2010. We wish to thank our Emergency Operations Center, Fire and Ambulance Call Board for handling the various difficult situations that they work to resolve. Public hearings, January 11th. Will be rescheduled for March 15, 2011. Attached are copies of the notices. This is because the P&Z Commission public hearings for the same proposed projects were rescheduled due to snow until February 10th. Planning and Zoning Commission hearings must be held before the County Council hearings. Planning and Zoning hearings scheduled for January 13th will be rescheduled for February 24, 2011. This is because the P&Z Commission will not have a quorum due to a family emergency. The public hearings before the County Council will be rescheduled for March 22nd. County, and then holiday. County offices will be closed on January 17th in honor of the birthday of Martin Luther King Jr. Offices will reopen on January 18th at 8:30 a.m., and the county council meeting will occur at the usual time of 10 a.m. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Rizzo?
Good morning. I have just one item on my agenda this morning. It's in reference to a change order number 3 for our Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility expansion number 1. Also, we have Mr. Jones, who is the project engineer for the project, is here. The change order number 3 results in an overall credit to Sussex County in the amount of $6,339. There's two items that are affected. In one case, we have a couple sections of 24-inch pipe that we determined could be raised, and that resulted in a credit of about $7,600. And in the second case, we had a sluice gate in our chlorine contact tank, which is the disinfection facility that we're constructing. We had to increase the length of the sluice gate, and that adds about $1,300 cost, but again, the overall credit is $6,339, and if you don't have any questions, I can read a motion.
Any questions, Council?
Mm-hmm.
Please read a motion.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Engineering Department that change order number 3 for Sussex County Project 09-19, Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility Phase 1 expansion be approved, which decreases the contract amount by $6,339 for a new total of $13,028,523, and that is contingent upon the receipt of approval from the funding agencies.
Okay, you have a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Have a motion, need a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Any question on a motion?
Mr. Rizzo, are we expecting additional change orders?
Oh, yeah. We have the one large one. We continue to negotiate with Whiting Turner. We have not heard back from them as of yet. They had provided an original cost. However, we think even though the credit is large, there's still additional funds, significant funds that are due to Sussex County on the basis of this credit, and we continue to negotiate with them. We gave them our comments about a month ago with the Christmas holidays perhaps, but whatever, we have not basically had a counter proposal come back from us from Whiting Turner. I had hoped to actually present that today, but at this point, not having heard from them today, I'm not even sure I can get it on next week's agenda, so it might be 2 weeks, but I don't know. Dave, would you prefer to put it on, and then if we don't get the information to take it off, or would you prefer for it to be put on in 2 weeks?
But we could put it on, and then if it's not ready, then we can strike it.
Yeah. Yeah. I still think there's an opportunity for significant negotiation on this item, which would benefit the county.
Well, why don't you go ahead and put it on the agenda for next week? If not, we can take it off next week. Okay. Any more questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Mr. Ashman? Thank you, sir.
Good morning. I'm here this morning to request permission to prepare and post notices for a Beaver Dam Road expansion of the Millville Sanitary Sewer District. The area includes a portion of Beaver Dam Road between Substation Road and Central Avenue, a section of Substation Road between Beaver Dam and Central, and this Pendel subdivision. There are several property owners in the area that have expressed interest in Central Sewer in the past, some of those with claims of failing septic systems. The area can be served with the addition of gravity sewer lines, and no pump station will be required. The project would consist of 39 parcels totaling approximately 42.5 acres, and the owners would at this time would be subject to system connection charges of $5,768 per EDU based on July 1st, 2010 to June 30th, 2011 rates. The finance director has been working on assessment costs, and they would be presented before the public hearing to the property owners.
Any questions of Mr. Ashman?
Is this a number of property owners, obviously, right? This isn't one big property owner who bought up all those parcels?
Correct.
Right?
A lot of existing homes here.
Yeah.
Okay. And this line, I mean, I'm hearing from some people that are, you know, are in these sewer districts, and because this developer, you know, didn't get developed, they're not getting the sewer, and nobody knows when now because development has slowed up. Is there any expectations that this will get done and get hooked up? I mean, what are the expectations? It seems seems to be kind of a flaw in how that we do it, that people say, hey, it's great, but then they never know when they're going to get it.
Now, in this case, it would be pretty straightforward. I mean, it's basically us doing a design, and you can see there's existing lines in the area that we would connect to.
Right.
So this is existing. Basically, when Mrs. Webb, I think it's going to come down to a factor of cost.
And it's going to be a little high, I think.
Numbers that we would present at the public hearing, and if it's affordable, I think people would be positive, but if the numbers are very expensive, then, you know.
So, okay, so we're at this point, we're still at the beginning of the process.
Yeah.
They vote, it may not go anywhere. We're just, it's costing us at this point.
And we do have a couple property owners down in that area that, you know, are very interested in, have been actively pursuing this project.
Okay, yeah, because that's, I just think that, I know, like out on 17, where that BB hospital wants to get relocated.
Right.
Does anybody know when sewer will get there?
Well, I mean, that's based upon that Millville by the Sea
that's
project,
right. Which is based on the economy.
Units, and you know, I know they had large projections 5 years ago.
Oh yeah.
Obviously, they're not. So it's kind of, you know, going out slowly as they develop that property. In that case, but in this case, again, we have existing lines that are already in the ground, and this would be us putting the lines for the benefit of the local residents.
Okay.
Any more questions of Mr. Ashman? You have a motion, sir?
I do. Be it moved by Sussex County Council that the Sussex County Engineering Department is authorized to prepare and post notices for the expansion of the Millville Sanitary Sewer District to include the portion of Beaver Dam Road from Substation Road to Central Avenue, the section of Substation Road from Beaver Dam Road to Central Avenue, and the Pendel Acres subdivision as presented on January 11, 2011.
I'll offer the resolution.
I have a motion and a second to move forward. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Ms. Sheever.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Schultz.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Tulin.
Good morning.
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 Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm here to present Ocean Farm Subdivision. Will be our first project under the new Chapter 96 code that we approved last June. You have a handout there before you with a resolution, and what I'm going to do is just brief through information on the proposed project, and then go through the resolution and have you guys vote. You know, we adopted this program back in July of 09, and then we amended it in November of 09 to make the billing an equal rate billing rather than a front footage billing. This subdivision, Ocean Farm, is located on Double Bridges Road, which is also County Road 363, near South Bethany. Has 114 tax parcels, 113 improvements. The streets are privately owned by the Owners Association. They sent a formal request letter to us back in February of 2010. And then we actually went to the site and held a meeting with their board members, went over the improvements in roadways that they, or roadway improvements that they were requesting. And then we did a preliminary estimate, and it was approved in May of 2010. And we did petition forms and had them sent over to the assistant county attorney, David Rutt, and he approved that. We delivered them in May. And they returned 60 executed petitions to us on September 10th, 2010. And we reviewed and found that the petitions represent approximately 53% of the total billable properties, which we need more than 50% by the code. We re-reviewed the cost estimate, and it was determined to still be applicable. We did a subdivision boundary layout with showing the roadway improvements you have on your attachment, if you can see it, but this is it right here. And I sent a table with the estimated annual rates for both 10-year and 15-year time periods and a notice of a public meeting to each owner of record. We held a public meeting in conjunction with their annual Homeowners Association meeting on November 13th, and they voted at that time to proceed to election using the 10-year time period, which is an estimated annual rate for $568.62 per billable property. What I'm asking for is approval for an election to be held on Thursday, February 17th from 3 to 7 p.m. at South Coastal Library in Bethany Beach. I also have attached to your package the preliminary cost estimate and a synopsis of the program. If anybody has any questions.
Any questions, Mr. Tuller? You have a motion?
I have a resolution.
Sorry, yes.
Okay. Do I need to read the entire thing? Or
No, just the heading.
Just the heading.
Okay. Resolution establishing a date, time, place, and judge for an election to be held to consider the Ocean Farm proposed Chapter 96 Sussex Community Improvement Project.
So moved. Have a motion.
Second.
And a second to approve the resolution. Any questions on the motion?
Is this $568 that per year for 10 years, or is that $568 for the total 10 years?
No, that's per year for 10 years. That's it's annual.
Okay, I thought it would be, but I wouldn't pause. Wait, read.
More questions on the motion? I will take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you.
Uh-oh. There's a hot phone call here.
I left it all because I'm trying to get a food on an airplane and wait to see if they call.
Grant request, Mrs. Webb.
Thank you. First one today, Village Improvement Association. And that's Ms.
Deaver. Oh, that's me.
Oh, it is?
Village Improvement Association at Rehoboth Beach, VIA. $2,500 I'd like to donate to the Rehoboth Beach Village Improvement
Association. We have a motion, Mr. Cole. Aye. And a second, Ms. Deaver.
Mm-hmm.
Take the vote, Ms. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Thank you. Next.
The next grant, the Sussex Tidewater Amateur Radio Network, an investigation, is not a nonprofit, so I don't recommend that we make
it
anything.
It is not a nonprofit.
No, it is not. Okay. I have talked to the organization and steered them in the right direction if he would like to become a nonprofit.
Okay, thank you very much. Next.
Ocean View Historical Society.
Yes, that's me again. I'd like to help. I've helped with Rehoboth Historical Society and Ocean View. I've helped them in the past, and they've got another project planned, and I'd like to give them $2,500 also.
We have a motion, Mr. Cole, from his account, $2,500. Second.
Second.
Mr. Phillips. Take the vote, Ms. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
And the Laurel U Sports Basketball 2011.
Have we funded that before? We have, haven't we? Not, I think.
Yes, we have.
We did
the last
year.
Time we funded it was $250 each from Mr. Phillips and Mr. Vincent.
That's fine.
Yeah, motion, Mr. Phillips, to take 250 of his account and 250 of my account. And a second from Mr. Wilson. Take the vote, Ms. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Introduction proposed zoning ordinances.
Yes, Mr. President, we have three. The first one is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for certain parcel of land lying and being in Seaford 100, Sussex County, containing 4.39 acres more or less. And it was a change of zone filed on behalf of TKCC LLC.
I'll introduce it.
Okay, thank you. And the next one is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a landscaping business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 6.1694 acres, more or less. And this was filed on behalf of Michael Schimmel.
Mm-hmm. I'll introduce it.
Okay. And the last one is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a bait and tackle shop to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 3.352 acres, more or less, filed on behalf of James Mershon.
I'll introduce
him. Okay, thank you.
Additional business brought before council, Mr. John Walsh. Please step forward and have your 3 minutes.
He's going to tell us about his big trip to Wilmington last night.
There you go.
Good morning, council members.
Good morning.
Very briefly, just a reminder to all of you that it has been 6.5 months since two members of the Board of Adjustments terms expired and nothing has been done to replace them. And if we go this way, we may be able to get a record. Which I don't think would be a particularly good one. Secondly, as a general reminder, we still do not have a land use planner, and the council of the county has been without one for over a year. And while it is in the budget, the money in a pocket doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be spent, and it would be nice if we had one, especially considering there are more requests for variances and changes in zoning with no professional input on site. Thank you very much for your time.
We have a motion to go to executive session for personnel issues.
While we got on this topic, I was bringing up for someone to mention something to me, but David, is I know in the past the county's looked at, you know, public-private partnerships in some of our departments. We did it with inspectors. I don't think we do it anymore, correct? But
no.
Right. Is there any merit to us looking at that with the economic situation that, you know, facing governments? Maybe we should revisit that. Is there any areas in our, you know, within the county that we could maybe look to that? I'm just wondering if it's something we should have a discussion about. You know, starting now, we've got a budget thing process we're going into. And
okay, were you
as a way for savings?
Were you considering this as far as the land use planning?
No, just anywhere. I'm just thinking in county government, or like assessments or inspections we did. Is there areas, we're doing something there with dog
control,
but I'm saying, is there any other areas that we may want to explore? Or is there any...
take another look at that.
If any of the other council people think that that's maybe something to look at. It is in the past, it's been ways to save money to use the private sector.
Sure.
To do certain functions. And I think it's proven to be successful in many areas. Some areas maybe not, but just a thought.
Right.
I don't know if it's
Mr. Baker and the Budget Committee can take a look at it, I'm sure.
Yeah, we can take a look at it and see if there's some other options out there that would help us provide the services with a private partnership like we've done in the past.
Right. And it may just be maybe not a whole department, but there may be a certain... facet of one of the many departments we have.
Sure. Okay.
Right, main-